John chapter 3 is where we're going to start our message today. It's not where we're going to end it, but we won't leave the Gospel of John. For those of you who are visiting, we are getting toward the end of a little series on, I suppose the best way to say this is, the Gospel of John has the answers. The answers to the questions that Christians have and the answers to those who aren't believers in Christ. And we've started that second section last week when we considered the question of how did we get here? Where did we come from? And this, of course, had a lot to do with the issue of creation as opposed to evolution. Today, we are, as you can see by your bulletin, dealing with the question, what went wrong? What went wrong with the world? And that is the reason that our theme statement, if you're looking at the second inside page, is that the Gospel of John answers the wrong questions. Now, you'll notice wrong is in quotation marks. It's actually answering the correct questions, but it answers the wrong questions in this respect. What went wrong? Because if God created a perfect world, it's sure not perfect anymore. So what happened? And how is it that the Gospel of John answers that question? Now, we are not, and I hope I made this clear from the beginning of the series, we are not saying that we could get rid of the rest of the Bible and just keep the Gospel of John and have everything that God wants us to know. Of course, there's much more information elsewhere. But our point is that if all you have is the Gospel of John, you've got the start of the answer. And in some cases, you really don't need much more than this. But for the most part, we want the rest of the Bible. I certainly do. Because we can start in the Gospel of John and go further along and get more details. And we all like details. I know we do, because we all have questions that the Bible doesn't specifically address. One of my questions, as always, is what does it mean when it says 666? Well, if I were still around in that day, I think I would know. But I don't plan to be around when that becomes obvious. But it's the number of a man. And it's not a series of three sixes. The scripture is very specific. It's 666. So, you know, if you want to tell me what it means, you've known for years, tell me afterwards, not now, but afterwards. But what we want to look at today is the first of two wrong questions. And since in the previous message, we ended with chapter 1 and verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's talk about what's wrong with me. And there are some of you here that know me well enough that you could get started on what's wrong with me personally. But what I mean here is each of us as individuals. What's wrong with me? There's something wrong. And we talk about this again and again because people accumulate possessions and wealth and all these different things, and they're still not satisfied. Gospel tracts have been written on that very topic and issue, that there are people who have everything, and yet in the end they commit suicide or they do, you know, They're unhappy for some reason. And so we want to take a look at this today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And in particular, verse 19. Now, the reason I read earlier this morning from verse 1 through verse 21 is that you always want to look at things in their context. And verse 19 is in a context. In fact, earlier in John chapter 3, after telling Nicodemus that he had to be born again, and you understand Nicodemus was at the pinnacle of the religious world. There wasn't anybody ahead of him in religious things, and yet Jesus told him, you don't have the most basic thing. And the most basic thing is to be born again. And then he tells him how. And essentially, verse 16, that probably everyone here has memorized, is the how, to be born again. And then he says that that wasn't, a judgment was not the reason that he came into the world. But in verse 19, he talks about judgment. Now, if you're using the King James, it says condemnation. And there's nothing wrong with that rendering, because the word that is used here implies that you're being sentenced. It's not a judgment to find out the facts. It's a judgment where the facts are already known and sentencing is about to take place. And so, that's the reason I think the King James translators rendered it condemnation. But the word judgment is, if you want to get technical, it is the word that's used here. But it implies a condemnation. The judgment has already been passed. And indeed, Jesus says that in verse 18. But this is the judgment, verse 19. Judgment is coming, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Now, there are two things I'd like us to see here. We could see more, but two things. One is what I think is the most obvious. Our problem, what went wrong with me? My problem is moral, not intellectual. It's a moral problem. Their deeds were evil. The work that they do, and this word deeds implies something that we work at. And we talk about the things we want to do and accomplish, but on the spiritual plane, our deeds are evil. I commend to you Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Many of you know it, but I'm just going to quote one part of the verse. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. All our righteous deeds are like dirty rags. The best that I can do is like a dirty rag, as far as God is concerned, because the standard is higher than anything I can do. That's why I need to be born again. But the issue is a moral issue. It's not an issue of a failure to comprehend or to understand, intellectually speaking. And I know that many times you encounter someone who has a question or an issue or something that they claim is keeping them from the gospel, etc. Well, that may be true occasionally, but I think it's really quite rare. I think most people use those kind of excuses as excuses. You know, that it's the smoke screen that I blow up whenever someone gets too close to the heart of the issue. But Jesus said the problem is our evil deeds. The evil things that we do. It's not an intellectual problem. The second thing I want you to see here is that our problem is spiritual, not environmental. And I want to spend a little time here. The problem is a spiritual problem. Evil is a spiritual issue. If, and we may have touched briefly on this last week, but if you believe evolution, and the vast majority of the Western world has fallen into that pit, if you believe evolution, then there is no such thing as evil. We haven't developed enough. That's your problem, Mickey. You haven't evolved enough yet. And of course, your wife is going to... I know she'd tell me you don't have any problems, but, you know, if you had a problem, that's That's what it is. And it's the same way with Solomon or Frankie or any of us here in the room. Their answer is, we just need to develop some more. But if they're wrong, then the issue is really a spiritual issue. It's not a matter of the environment. But what you're going to hear again and again, even from people that aren't especially trying to promote evolution, but that thinking has so permeated our educational system, our political system, everything, that you almost can't help getting into that trap. But my point is that many people will tell you that it's some environmental factor that is your problem. If you go to a psychologist, and I suspect you're going to hear this from even a Christian psychologist, but if you go to a psychologist with some problem, personal problem, domestic problem, whatever, they're going to tell you that it's not your fault. You're not the one to blame. You know who you blame? Dad. He's the one that messed you up. Or Mom. Mom messed you up. And that's the reason you're in this trouble that you're in. But the Bible says it's me that messed me up. It's not Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad may not have been a good mom and dad. Many, you know, I know the background of a number of you here, and some of you were not blessed, as I was, with a good mom and dad. But you're here today. And you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven, and your life has been changed. You've been born again. So the problem, it may be that Mom and Dad didn't help things any, may have even hindered in some respects, but the problem between me and God is me, not Mom and Dad. And it's not, again, you know, I refer to this from time to time. We never sing this song anymore, but it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher or the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The preacher may not be the best preacher he is, or the deacon, or brother or sister, but it's me. It's me that's the problem. So, what went wrong with me? Me went wrong with me. That's not good English, but that's what is wrong with me. And it's neither moral nor spirit or environmental. I'm sorry, I'm getting this wrong. It's not primarily intellectual. It's not even our environment. You know, again, we could pursue this further. Doesn't have to be the people around us. It can be the people far away from us. Politics, that's what's wrong. If we could just get the right political system, or if we get, and by the way, that's the communist answer to things. I was going to introduce this later, but I'll introduce it now. Have any of you seen the little diagram, I'm okay, you're okay? You know, it's a box with made up of four little boxes. And I'm going to try and do this the way you would look at it. Up in the upper left-hand corner is the box that says, I'm okay, you're okay. It doesn't matter what you do or what you think or how you feel or anything like that. It's okay. It's okay. And by the way, if we don't agree, that's okay too. Everybody's okay. Do you think this, and this comes out of psychology, but do you think that hasn't infiltrated the church? Well, it has, because we live in a day when many churches want everybody to be on their way to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you practice, at least to some degree. You're on your way to heaven, and their view is you have to fight really hard not to get to heaven. Now, I don't know, but my Bible doesn't seem to read that way. Mine says that all you have to do to go to hell is nothing. You just, you know, you're on your way there right now. So something has to change. Well, then in the upper right-hand box, I'm okay, you're not okay. There's nothing wrong with me, but there's a lot wrong with you, with everybody else. I'm okay, you're not okay. This is the basis of Nazism and communism and most other isms. Nazism said if you're a Northern European Aryan, you're okay. But if you're not, if you're a Jew or a Gypsy or a Slav or any other group, you're not okay. At best, you were made to be a slave to us, to me. All right. And communism takes the same view, except theirs is based on politics rather than on ethnicity, per se. But my point is, that isn't a biblical view either. Well, you get down to the lower left-hand box down here, and that box says, you're okay, I'm not okay. Everybody else is all right, but there's something wrong with me. And this is what paints us into a corner. If my constant thinking is, all the rest of you are okay, but I'm not okay. You become an outsider. You become a pariah. And a lot of people can't make it through life with that kind of attitude. And then you go down to the lower right-hand box. And this is the one I love. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. There's something wrong with all of us. And interestingly enough, I know you're not going to like this, but interestingly enough, that's what the Bible says. There's something wrong with me, and there's something wrong with all of us. It's not just me, it's all of us. Now, what the Bible does is gives us the solution to that problem. And again, it's found right here in the Gospel of John. We've already seen it this morning in the third chapter. There's something wrong with us. Even the best of us, like Nicodemus, have to be born again. And the way to be born again is not to, as Nicodemus, and I can't help but think, especially from the Greek text, that he was being facetious and throwing out an intellectual smokescreen here when he said, you can't get back in your mother's womb and be born again, can you? Well, I think it should have been obvious from what Jesus said and the language he used that that wasn't what he was talking about. But our Lord is very gracious. He makes it clear to Nicodemus, no, pal, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the contrast of being born physically and being born spiritually, born from above. And then he tells us how. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then, of course, he warns us that if you're not born again, you're already standing in judgment. And the judgment is because what you do, what you work at, is really just a form of evil. Even the best of us. So, what's wrong with me? Well, evil. It's a moral issue. What's wrong with the world? I'm not okay, but you're not okay either. So what's wrong with the world? And here I've got three things that I want you to consider. The first is the rejection of the spiritual world. We're turning now to chapter 8 of John and verse 44. This is a powerful verse. And I want you to understand that this is one of those verses where what we learn here is not the main point. Our Lord is refuting his opponents, but in doing so, he tells us a great deal about who they are and who we are. And I want you to remind you that in John chapter 8, his opponents are the very religious people of Jerusalem and the Jewish people. They've got higher moral standards than the people of the world, the pagans of the world around them. And still, Jesus says this, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, there are many people who reject a personal devil and reject the whole spirit world. I think I've mentioned in one of our forums here that I've got numerous books on Christian counseling. I've got one that is the best that I've run across, and I do recommend, but there's not a one of them that deals with the spirit world. The fact that a person can be demon-possessed, or that you are of your father, the devil, in a very spiritual way, not just a general emotional or intellectual way. You are of your father, the devil. And he's telling this to the creme de la creme, the cream of the cream. And he says, you are of your father, the devil. Even Christian psychiatrists and psychologists don't deal with this. And I think there's a reason that is a theological reason, but we really don't have time to go into that today. Our point here, though, is a rejection of the spirit world. Most denominations today, let me go into the this theological aspect anyway. Most denominations today take the view that if the devil exists, and not all of them believe that, but if there really is a devil, he's already confined to the bottomless pit. And so consequently, that's, you know, anything that the Bible says about the devil or demons or anything, that really doesn't apply to us today, because he's already confined. Well, beloved, look around you and look in the paper, on the television news, or whatever kind of news source you get. Do you believe that the devil is confined? Sure looks to me like he's going wild in the day in which we live. And he hasn't finished yet. But Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said to these folks, you are of your father, the devil. And that's the basic problem with the world today. We sing, this is my father's world. And if they're talking about the world as it's created, there's a truth there. I'm not denying and not suggesting we stop singing the song. But in terms of what makes the world go round, it's the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. My Bible says so. But Jesus right here says, you, all you guys that are rejecting me, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. You want to do what your father does. Does that take us back to because their deeds were evil? Why are our deeds evil? Because our spiritual father, I'm talking about unsaved people now, the world at large, our spiritual father is the one that we want to emulate. Generally, children want to pattern themselves after their fathers, especially the guys. But the point is, we want to please our father. And that's the reason our deeds are evil, and that's the reason evil is rampant in the world today. The question that I've asked here, what's wrong with the world, is really just another way of asking, why is there evil in the world? The devil is the reason, and those who are his children. That's the reason there's evil in the world. We want to do the desires of our father. Second observation here in this section, what's wrong with the world, is the rejection of objective truth. Look at verse 44 again. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth. His truth does not come out of his nature at all. There was a time, if we understand the scriptures correctly, and we do, but if we understand the scriptures correctly, the one that we now call the devil was called Lucifer, and he stood in the truth. He was in the very garden of God in the heavenly places. But he sinned, and he fell from that, and he did not keep on standing in the truth, and now there's no truth in him. If he speaks a word that is true, he's not speaking out of his own heart, as we would say. He is just manipulating God's word for his own purposes. And so, a rejection of objective truth. Our father, and I'm talking about when we were unsaved, our father, the devil, did not stand in the truth, and we want to do what our father does. And that's the reason there's a rejection today of objective truth. And I want you to understand, this is not just the world. It's permeated Christendom also. And so today we have church leaders who write books and they get interviews on television and all this sort of thing. And what they tell us is, and this is not a precise quote, but it almost is, and that is that we can't be sure that there's any truth out there, but we can be sure that if there is, we can't know it. Now, tomorrow is tax day. Try telling that to the IRS. But my point, and nobody lives like that, but that's their philosophy. There may not even be any such thing as objective truth. This is true, it's always true, it always will be true. Now, there's probably nothing like that, but even if there is, you know, our little brains can't understand it. Well, their little brains can't, maybe, but your brain can. Must be bigger brains, I don't know. No, it's not either. It's because God has poured light on it for you. And here's the third consideration. The rejection of the sin nature. The Bible elsewhere talks about the fact that we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, with that in view, what does verse 44 say about that? Well, it says this: whenever he, the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. Now, the translators added the word nature there. The Greek text, he speaks out of his own being, from himself, when he speaks a lie. And why is that? For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, this, of course, takes us back to the concept of truth, but what I want us to see here is the kind of nature that he has. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he is the father of lies. Have you ever told a lie? I know I've asked this before. Yeah, I have too. I may tell another lie sometime. Later today, tomorrow, next week, whatever. You know, I could tell a lie at any point. Where does that come from? It comes from the father of lies, and it comes through me. Even as a Christian, it can come through me because I still have that same nature. But you know, the world says, you've heard it many times, probably in school and elsewhere, as human beings, we're really basically good, you know, and we have to work at being bad. And, the bad people in the world, they just need to, and again, you go back to what we talked of before, they just need to develop some more or have more education or have more food, more clothes, more cars. I don't know. There's always something more that if we just got this, then everything would be, can I use an old Pennsylvaniaism, hunky-dory? Everything would be hunky-dory if We just had this. Well, we can have it all, and it still is not what we need. And our problem is that we come into this world, we've inherited a sin nature from the first human being that sinned, Adam. We won't talk about Eve at this point, but we'll, you know. The Bible tells me that it's through one man that sin entered the world. And so my point is, we have a sin nature, but that concept is rejected, and it's rejected even by many denominations. Did you know that there are some denominations that teach plainly that until you, and it varies with the group, but until you reach an age of accountability, you don't sin. You're innocent. And the only reason you're a sinner is because you learn to commit sin. But you know, that's just the opposite of what this says. The reason I commit sins is because I'm a sinner. I have that nature. I come into this world with it. And I know I've used this example before, and I don't want to point it at Levi or Peter, but I'll bet that their parents could verify that it didn't take them long to express sin in their lives. It didn't take my children long. Dear me, you know, I mean, you don't get fed when you want to, or changed when you want to, or played with when you want to. What does a baby do? Let you know. You messed up, pal. Get busy. Shovel that food in, or whatever, you know. Whatever it may be. Yeah. Because, Cindy, it's all about them. You know, Cindy and I joke about this. But, you know, it really is. That's our nature. It's all about me. And that's what the problem is with the world. We reject what probably most Christians would say, isn't that obvious? You know, isn't it obvious that there's a spiritual world? Isn't it obvious that there really is truth and that you can know it? Isn't it obvious that, you know, there's something deep inside of us that isn't as it ought to be? Apparently, it's not obvious to many. But small wonder, because their father, the devil, blinds the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. What's wrong with this world that God created? You can sum it up in three letters. You don't even need a four-letter word for this. S-I-N. That's what's wrong with this world. It's what's wrong with me on a personal level. It's what's wrong with the world. I'm talking about people as we come into this world. I'm not talking about believers at this point, although we're affected by it too. But this is what's wrong with the world in which we live. S-I-N. And you know something? My Bible says, and this is a good week to remind ourselves of it with Good Friday ahead, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Next week we'll remind ourselves that He rose from the dead. But Christ died for our sins, and that's why He will accept us just as we are. That's our closing hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Now, the glorious thing, and I don't want you to make the mistake that I hear many people making. He accepts us just as we are, but He doesn't leave us that way. When you put your trust in Christ, a change starts from the inside out, and you can't stop it. You can hinder it, but you can't stop it. I'm confident of this very thing, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'll ask Sheila and Andrew to help us as we close the service today.